This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
For me, BT, I don't care if it's the number 3 pick overall. I don't care if it's Jadeur Sanders. The Giants' primary goal coming out of the 2025 draft should be that they have a quarterback that they identify to be the franchise quarterback of the future. That's it. I don't care how it happens, who it is. That's the primary goal, and I'm starting to get the sense that it's just not going to happen for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll.
Well, I don't know if they're going to get the right guy. They're going to get a guy at some point. I don't think it's going to be a 3, and I would agree on this level. You and I disagree on a few things with this quarterback stuff with the Giants here and with Joe Shane, but I think if they don't at least, you know, take a swing for a quarterback within the first 3 rounds, I would be stunned. And I would hit them for that. I think that that's unacceptable. At some point, you got to get in the box and get a swing here. Let me ask you this. Do you think, just to kind of freshen it up a little bit, we'll get back to the calls. Do you think there is a chance that this is one giant, massive smokescreen by the Giants who are maybe trying to get in the head of the Browns? Like, I think we all think strongly that, all right, Cam Ward, number one, Tennessee. Tennessee's not trading. They're definitely not taking Sanders. They're going to take Cam Ward. Boom. Then you get to 2, and there's a lot of guessing at number 2. Well, maybe Travis Hunter. Well, maybe Sanders. Maybe Abdul Carter. Not that it would work, but if it's the motivation of the Giants to make it seem like they're not very interested in Sanders, you know, it's kind of a copycat league. Do you think there's any chance that the Giants actually love Sanders and are playing possum?
No, I don't.
So you don't believe in smoke screens at all?
I would be shocked. I would be pleasantly surprised, but I would be shocked if the Giants took Jadeur Sanders. Because I think they're in a position of control. I don't think Cleveland's taking Sanders there. I don't think they're taking a quarterback. I would also be shocked if that were the case. I think Cleveland's going to go the veteran route for a quarterback at some point. Sanders, to me, just doesn't fit what they would want to do with their head coach. All the money that they wasted on Deshaun Watson. I think Cleveland's taking the best player available in the draft. And I would go Abdul Carter myself.
Yeah.
Maybe they go Hunter. But I don't think it's a smokescreen from the Giants here. I think that the math is telling us that the Giants are, look at Matthew Stafford. That's who the Giants really wanted.
Yeah, we said that, and that told us all we needed to know. It wasn't like a Rodgers 1 year, maybe, or 2 year thing. With Stafford, it would have been probably 3. So if you were that aggressive with the offer, and they came correct with their offer, they were trying to get Stafford to the Giants. We know that. So by them doing that so aggressively, and really, I think at the end of the day, they got played by Stafford, who never wanted to lead the Rams, which is what you said, by the way. You got that right. I think that they told us without telling us everything that they thought about this quarterback crew, or maybe Sanders and a lack of willingness to give up whatever it would take to move up to 1. They could like Cam, but they don't want to make all those trades to get up there. See, I would think that it would still be advantageous, though, to play up Sanders. From a Giants perspective, the more teams behind me, whether it's the Raiders, whether it's the Saints at 9, whether it's maybe the Jets at 7, whatever, the more teams that think, man, the Giants love Sanders. They are really enamored with him. Well, it creates a little heightened, you know, little pop around Sanders, even if you don't believe it, which could maybe pull somebody into a bidding war and you could get a great trade offer.
Where do you think Sanders ends up going?
9 to the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, we looked at the draft. We've done the math on some of these teams.
I said that 2 weeks ago. I thought that was a possibility.
I mean, there were mock drafts early on that had them taking Jackson Dart at 9.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the Saints are going to take a quarterback.
Yep.
I don't know if they love Sanders or not, but I think Sanders is going to drop. And I don't know if he gets past the Jets, though, at 7. I mean, there could be an appealing aspect to that where, and I give Muji a ton of credit for having the sack to go out there in his first year and take a quarterback with that 7th overall pick. Maybe they're thinking they couldn't get Sanders. Maybe he goes before that. If this is the second best quarterback prospect in the draft, according to the consensus, Muji working with Sean Payton a year ago, saw what he did with Bo Nix, thinking, hey, you know what? This is a guy we want to get in our building. He could be the future here. Just understanding the value that is. Again, I don't know. I'm just curious to see where you think or how far you think Sanders falls. If it wasn't to the Saints, let's say the Saints went with Jackson Dart or whatever, something else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who's next for Shador Sanders?
Where's Let me he, just pull where up the he, list here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's. I think at some point somebody
Niners,
would probably.
No.
No.
Obviously,
but I think,
Bears, no. Cowboys, no.
But I think somebody would probably look to make a trade at that point. So I don't think it would be a conventional answer. We could run down the teams. We know who needs a quarterback.
Right, but
and who
we even
doesn't.
Did that. We did that a couple of weeks ago.
Well, let's do it again. Maybe it changed.
Well, how? I mean, who are the teams that need even a quarterback in that spot that would trade up?
Let me see.
Cincinnati, no.
No.
Seattle, no. They just got Sam
probably
Darnold.
Probably not. No, probably. See, Sammy didn't get a long
Tampa
commitment,
Bay, no.
Though.
Denver, no.
Well, I mean, we're going Pittsburgh. We're going through this fast, but I think there's a little pushback that could be that could occur here. So you said Seattle, and I would say probably not. It's not an incredible commitment they gave Darnold. What was the one after that? Okay, Hawks. I know Tampa likes Baker. I don't know that they're married to Baker. Maybe it's just a lengthy, you know, courtship, but not a marriage. I don't know.
I mean, look, maybe the Cardinals, who pick before that, they pick after the Falcons. They are 4, 8, 12, 16th, I think, the Cardinals. And the Steelers is one of the – he's meeting with the Steelers, or what is it? He's working out with the Steelers or something like that going on soon here.
Let's see here.
I mean, there's just a chance, and we've seen this happen with these quarterbacks. There's a chance some of these guys fall, and he seems to be a prime candidate to drop significantly if the Giants and Browns don't take him. You throw the Jets in there, maybe that's even a long shot. Then the Saints, maybe the Saints like Jackson Dart better. Now you start painting the picture where Shador really falls.
I think that's possible. I don't think no matter what, he's not falling past 15. I don't think we have an Aaron Rodgers green room situation. I don't. I did say to you a week or so ago, now this is a sleeper, but it might be a sleeper kind of team who takes him, Miami. I mean, I don't know how you trust Tua's health moving forward. If they like him and they have him highly graded, then I would make that, okay, that's possible. I'm with you on the Saints at 9, not with the Bears. Niners, no. Dallas, maybe if they didn't just make that trade. Probably not, though. Panthers, no. I think the Colts at 14 are an option. 15, no. You said the Cardinals, maybe. Bengals, no. Seattle, probably not, but I'll leave it slightly open. Same with the Bucs. Denver, no. Steelers, maybe. Falcons, no. Packers, no. I mean, there's not a lot of teams once you get to a certain point. I'll grant you that. But I think somebody would scoop in and probably take him before 15, I think.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Angelo's in Howard Beach. What's up, Angelo?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
Just really quick, with just a quick comment on Dable and Shane, just because, you know, they're both going into year 4 now. They're both kind of first-timers at their positions now, and just going in, I am extremely more confident in Shane than I am in Dable. I think when you look at him, it's been reversed. You know, you have Dable comes in, coach of the year. Year 2 was a disaster. They want to blame the injuries. Year 3, it got worse, you know, and then it's the opposite with Shane, where you can point to that first draft where he messed up Evan Neal, but that was a chalk pick, you know what I mean? And Thibodeau, same type of deal. But he's gotten progressively
better. How about the other 20 picks he made in the first round that year in 2022? What, we just give him a full pass?
No, not at all. For the other 20 picks he made
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. The Giants had 11 picks in 2022.
Oh, yeah, those aren't first-round picks, though. I mean, Robinson wasn't terrible.
Are we going just based off of first round, or are we going overall? You don't win based off of first-round picks.
No, that's the point. The first draft was, you know, he's gotten progressively better with his drafting.
Well, how was the second year?
The second year wasn't terrible. You know, Schmidt, sure, you know.
And Deontay Banks, round 1. Jalen Hyatt, round 3.
The whole system was
Eric Gray, round 5.
Year 2 wasn't very good. Year 3 was much better. See, I would, Angelo, hold on one second. I would say, and listen, I respect your opinion. I know what you mean, but I would frame it a little differently, okay? So early on, the equation was supreme faith in Brian Daboll, not so much faith in Joe Shane. I will grant you that my faith in Daboll has eroded for many reasons, but the faith hasn't become so strong in Shane where I look at him as a massive asset, and I look at Daboll as this detriment. I just think both of them right now were hanging by a thread.
Yeah, I don't know how you could say clearly that you'd value Shane. What has Shane done? Well, okay, yeah, last year he had a great draft.
You knew I was going to say.
Okay.
I mean, that's the only thing you can say to pump him up.
I can't say it was a great draft.
No, I'm not saying it was great.
Okay.
It was good.
Better than the crap that he put out there for 2 years before. That does not erase the 2 years before that.
No, I understand that. I agree.
At least what Brian Daboll did was he did definitively take Daniel Jones and turn him into a playoff-winning quarterback in his first year. Now, they couldn't sustain it for many reasons, but at least we saw that from Brian Daboll. Things have gotten progressively worse. You want to say that, all right, things are getting progressively better with Shane? I don't see that. I could say that he had his best draft. The other two drafts were abysmal, and this was his best draft so far. You got to have more than just 1 year.
Yeah, you can't hit 333 as a general manager and get touted as a stud. I agree.
And it's not like saying that these guys, Tyrone Tracy looked good, but he's got some issues too. He was fumbling the football all over the place. Like, he's no lock guaranteed stud. He was better than the stuff that they've drafted before that, but it doesn't mean he's going to be a star. Theo Johnson, I liked him as a player.
I like him.
Got some potential.
I like him.
All right, but what exactly did he do? I mean, it wasn't like he was lighting it up either. Drew Phillips, I love. All right, Newman, and we know what Neighbors is. Yeah, anybody could have picked Neighbors. As a matter of fact, I think it was a bad pick because they should have taken a quarterback, but I don't understand how anybody could sit here and say Joe Shane has done a good job.
No, I'm not saying that. I would, you know what I would like to do? I really would like to, it'll never happen, but this would be very interesting to me. I would love to sit, I shouldn't say it would never happen, probably won't happen. I would love to sit next to somebody and already have all this film that I'm about to preface ready. Sit down with somebody who knows quarterbacks and knows offense, right? And watch them respond to some of the plays that the Giants, Daboll, has diagrammed that haven't worked that football person believes could work with a better quarterback. Because it happened a lot last year where not just the flea flicker in Germany where Daniel Jones wouldn't throw the football. Like, there were plays to be had downfield where they wouldn't let it rip. They wouldn't eat. And if that's a better quarterback, and that's a 28-yard gash, and that's a 37-yard touchdown, and that's a 15-yard first down, I'm not saying that the Giants would have been good or their offense would have been very good, but it wouldn't be viewed as incompetent. Like, I think that some of Daboll's strengths have been overlooked because the quarterback just didn't have the guts to let it fly.
Well, who stuck with his quarterback?
What was his option?
What do you mean? They could have drafted
DeVito?
Somebody. They could have drafted
He's not the general manager, Sal. He can't draft somebody.
Well, yes, they both can.
No, I'm saying Daboll can't say, Joe, you better take this guy.
Yeah, they
He's the coach.
They should. They work.
He's not the GM.
It's a collaborative effort.
It isn't.
Who brought in Drew Locke? I mean,
I don't know.
If they were that worried about Daniel Jones, and they should have been, then couldn't you get a better quarterback, a better backup than Drew Locke?
That's one of the mistakes they made. For $5 million, it was money poor spent. Once Jones went down, and that's one of the reasons why I think the Giants will be much more watchable this year. If Russell Wilson stinks and or gets hurt, at least Jameis Winston is interesting where Drew Locke was a stiff. No, that was a colossal fail by whomever made it.
Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Matt is in Westchester. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, Matt?
I listen to you guys all the time down at school, so first time caller.
I just had a point
about Shane and then about Drury. Sal, I agree with you a lot, but this one I just can't agree with you on. You said that you'd pick Drury over Shane, and that Drury built that roster. Panarin, Kreider, Zibanejad, Fox, and Shesterkin were all there before Drury got there.
Yeah, what I'm saying is he built a team that was a team that was successful in the postseason. He knew the right pieces to put around those guys. I like Drury's moves that he made to get this team to another level before those guys. Now, sticking with them long-term, that's a different story. But I give Drury credit for getting this team. Remember where they were before he got there? They were going in the wrong way. They were soft. They were all finesse. He toughened them up a little bit. So that's why I give Drury credit for the way he built this team.
That's fine. And then the one thing I had about Shane was you knocked on him about the Thibodeau and the Neal pick. Obviously, they didn't pan out the way they were, but you can go back and look at mock drafts and all these guys like Mel Kiper and everything. Neal and Thibodeau were projected to be the first overall pick at times and projected to be in the top three. And you can go back and look. I'm almost 99% sure on this, but I'm pretty sure that the first year when Shane drafted, he didn't have his own scouts. It were the previous scouts that
I believe you're right about that. I think you're right about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can't really knock him on the Thibodeau and Neal pick when they were projected first overall at times.
Well, yes, you absolutely can. What does that mean, they were projected overall? He's got to get that right, and thank you for the call.
I don't think Neal was ever projected first. I know Kayvon was a little bit. I don't think Neal was always projected high, not one.
It doesn't matter where they're projected. It matters when you take them, if you take them at all. I mean, then why hire Joe Shane? Why not just go hire Mel Kiper Jr.? Well, he was projected number one.
That's right.
And what about year two? All right, I'll give you a pass. I'll give you a pass on the busts in year one. What about year two? Deontay Banks, round one. Did he have his scout team in place for that one? Did he have his scout team? How about Jalen Hyatt? I'm still waiting for Jalen Hyatt. Oh, no. Jalen Hyatt's going to stretch the field, give Daniel Jones an option to throw the ball down the field. Has Jalen Hyatt had a big catch in the 3 years he's been here? Or whatever, 2 years he's been here? I haven't seen it.
Zip.
Yeah, so, I mean, but did Shane have all the pieces in place around? Come on, guys.
Well, now, listen, I do agree. You've got to judge people on what they do and who they draft and you know, it almost doesn't matter what the context was at the time when it happened. Did you get it right or did you not? That's the bottom line. But that's why I talk about clarity and a free mind with the Jets regime, because they're new. But I'm reading the post-draft analysis here on Evan Neal, who was as big a stiff as you could be. Yeah. I mean, he is lazy, he is awful, and it's just bad. But the first thing they talk about is the Giants' offensive line, like the summarization of what he is. Before they get to him, they talk about how the Giants' O-line's been a mess for a decade here. So did they look at Neal and say, man, this guy is amazing and we need him? Or did they just stretch the boundaries of what they believe to address a hole that was there for a decade? And I think it's more number two.
Okay,
I'll give them a little more room to fail when you're reacting to what other people put you in. That's the difference for me.
What do you mean reacting to what
Meaning because you inherited such an awful offensive line that you may have liked Evan Neal, but not loved him. But since nobody else was really available, I think the Chargers went O-line at like 15 that year. I'm forgetting the kid's name, but I think he's more inside anyway. I think that they probably overdrafted because it was such a desperate situation that they were put in, not by their own doing, by the previous regime.
Yeah, you could also trade down and take other players. I can't give the Giants a pass on that. I know that there were circumstances involved. He's used that as an excuse. All right, then what about year two? And by the way, if he's so good at building a team, how come they can't build a team that could win some games? How about this? Forget about even winning games. Can you build a team, if you're a great GM, can you build a team that, really, move the football? You don't even have to score. Move the football. Like, start with a first down, like a completion, maybe a block that can lead a run for a first down. Start with that. Move the football a little bit. Then we could elevate to scoring points, whether it be with a field goal.
You got to get those snaps down,
though. You could score a couple different ways in the NFL. I don't know if the Giants know this. It could be a field goal, or it could be a touchdown. That's like, that's foreign to say at MetLife Stadium.
That's asking for a lot, yeah.
I understand it's asking for a lot.
It's a big ask, Sal.
Just how about just move the football? Then maybe we'll start throwing some flowers Joe Shane's way. Well, I don't want to give the name of the company of the jeans that I wear, because I'm not going to give them a free pop. I mean, you want to advertise with us, that's a different story. But I am struggling. I love the jeans that I wear, the fit. It's, one of these newer companies where it's kind of like,
softer, more pliable. My God, yeah, I got a few of those too. Yeah.
What a great invention.
Yes.
Because jeans forever were so uncomfortable. Ugh. I hated wearing them. The problem is that even with this style, I still am not somebody who likes the fit of jeans being painted on.
Yeah, like Lou Gower.
Yeah, like some of these guys, like the skinny jeans, I guess, are the thing that's in.
Yeah.
But I feel like, and I don't know if it's just because I've been wearing, let's just say a pair of jeans for a year, however long I had them, a year and a half, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Do they then, loosen up a little bit?
Generally they do, yeah.
Okay, so
why do you think they're too loose now, baggy?
I just look at myself and I'm like, it's not that they're baggy, it just doesn't look as crisp. as I kind of want it to be, but I don't want skinny jeans. I don't like that tight fitting.
No.
Come on.
No, that's not for me either, man.
I want my stuff flowing.
I'm a dude.
You know what I mean? I want it free.
Yeah, you were also past that point. Do what, you know what you should do? If they're getting too big, I'll give you an honest assessment. Turn around. I see. Get a little bad, a little saggy in the ass there.
You see what I'm saying? Even like they should be a little tighter.
Saggy. What you should do is just take the hoodie, turn that around, and just become a crisscross.
Yeah,
raised up backwards.
That's what I don't want. I don't want. But I start looking at myself like in the. I can see myself in the reflection on the train. I'm like, man, are these jeans getting a little too?
Maybe you're losing weight.
A little bit, but that's not it.
Okay.
It's just, I think the fit, I think I might need to get new ones, and then, I actually ordered some new ones anyway, different ones, but I'm going to see how they fit, if they fit a little bit tighter, and then I'll just have to go reorder these. But they, I mean...
I almost never like the way clothes fit me. It's very odd, like, I don't think anybody would look at me and say, wow, he's got a weird body or out of shape. I don't mean that, but I've got very long arms, right? Mm. And like I go back to when I haven't bought a really nice suit in probably a little bit more than a year, but like generally I was 44 long, okay? Because I've a bigger chest but long arms, you're right? So, but when you get a 44 long, you know, jacket, the pants are, because I have no ass and I've got these skinny Irish, you know, pencil legs, they've got to take in the suit pants so much it never looks good. Certain button-down shirts like that you could get from nice, I mean, talking about like high-level stores here.
You could get those fitted though, right?
You could, but I'm talking about a shirt that like you might wear with jeans to like a game or out to dinner, like when we went to Rails. I don't mean TV necessarily, but because my arms are longer, they might be a tick short, but then they, so now if I get something that fits the arms, now the stomach and the chest is too big.
Yeah.
Or same thing with the jeans. Like I never feel jeans fit me. It's a pain in the ass.
So what fit jean do you get?
I get, let me see. I've got both. I've got 36, 34s.
Those are the waist. I meant like fit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could get
I've got one or two tight pairs, man, which it's not the best look, whatever. But I didn't really know they were tight when I got them.
Okay, but I think that is a better, quote-unquote, look.
Than the saggy, sloppy, like, well, you just dumped in your pants look.
I
agree.
So, you know what I really noticed? Last night for SMY, I did a hit, and like, all right, we're going to be standing. And I was like,
are you standing up at the board?
I don't want to stand. I would rather sit. No, I didn't complain. I was just like, yeah, whatever. But then I feel insecure about the way that my jeans fit. Speaking of somebody,
this guy always has nice jeans.
Why don't we welcome incredibly the expert tan on this?
On what? On jeans? What's up, guys?
Yo.
Yeah, we're just saying about, and do you wear jeans on TV?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we're talking about the fit. Like what? Because I'm worried if they're a little more droopy. Not the size.
Please stop.
I don't want to wear the skinny jeans.
Lose weight. They won't be droopy. No. Wear tighter jeans.
The skinny jeans. You know what I'm saying? Like
they don't wear skinny jeans.
Okay.
Well, we already came to that conclusion. Not a good look.
I don't wear tapered jeans either. Be a man.
Yeah, but don't you think
put some Levi's on. Let's go.
Talk about like Carton.
501 silver tabs. That's right. I got big thighs.
Do you go tanning, actually?
No, I was in Miami for a Live Golf last weekend. Got tanned, burnt my whole pink. I'm pink. Yeah, I do have a little makeup on because I was filming something, but I'm legitimately tan. But if I showed you my stomach right now, woo!
I'll pass on.
Peppy the pig.
You walked into the wrong room there, buddy.
Peppy the pig.
Hold on a second. So a Live event, how did you and the 37 other people that attended it, did you enjoy yourself?
Excuse me, 42. 42.
Oh, you guys are spiking in the right direction.
It's funny, I don't like going to golf events.
Oh, I love going to golf.
I'm a hospitality tent guy, to be honest with you.
All right, I got
walking the courses for the birds, I don't...
Real quick, I want you to finish, but you ever see people who walk the course with, like, their saddle shoe, golf shoes?
Yeah.
Like, they think the caddy's going to call if they hit a wedge from 95.
The only two events... The only two events that I really like that is like the U.S. Open tennis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dude show up in tennis clothes.
Yes, that's weird.
Like, you're not playing.
No.
Oh, but
and a golf. Guys go to golf tournaments.
I know.
Dressed like they're going to play today.
Yeah, but people go to baseball stadiums wearing baseball jerseys.
They're not wearing stirrups and baseball pants.
Or eye black.
Although, when you do see the guy that's dressed like that, stay away from that guy.
Yeah. Well, you worked with one of those for a while.
Boomer, I know. Guy goes to Mets games dressed like he's at Crane Pool.
I think you meant Evan, but yeah.
Oh, you meant Evan. Sorry.
You're getting a little shot on booms over there, huh?
Yeah.
What are you doing, man? What's going on?
I was filming on your responsible gaming stuff, but I'm coming by saying hi.
As you usually do.
Yeah. It's weird that, like, the golf community is a weird bunch of people.
Okay.
It's almost like there's this really cool camaraderie amongst them.
Yes.
Kind of like cigarette smokers. Hmm. Like, they don't get along with other people, right? But together, they, like, have lots to talk about, and there's some commonality there. Mm-hmm. I find walking, whether you pick a group, right, whatever it might be, like, the worst and dumbest and most boring thing in the world.
Really?
Yeah, like, put my ass under a tent with unlimited alcohol on a green, and, oh, look at that approach shot. That
Yeah, good. Here comes so-and-so up the team. I've done both, all right? I really have. I think it depends on the venue. Like, if you try to follow a group at Bethpage or Shinnecock during the U.S. Open, you're going nowhere. You're seeing nothing. But if it's a smaller event, but I don't mean LIV, but I mean like PGA, smaller, and it's not Tiger or Phil back in the day, and you have a couple of drinks along the way, it's awesome walking the 18. It really is.
I don't get, like, what's awesome about
just
it?
Watching watching them go about how they navigate a golf course, quite frankly. Really, how they interact with the caddy, you know, obviously how far they hit the ball, the different clubs, and how they shape the ball. Just from a golf perspective, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I've never done it. I have no interest in it. I mean, even having it on the Masters, all right.
The Masters is special. It's the Masters. Like, I watch two golf tournaments a year. Now the Tiger's out.
You get invited by Jim Nantz to go do these?
No. Jim and I mean, we're friendly, but we're not friends.
What's the second tournament that you go to?
US Open I watch.
US Open,
but
the
best. I like when they fail.
Me too.
Like, watching the greatest golfer in the world be 6 over par.
That's the best.
I can relate to that.
Yeah, I've said the same thing
forever. Yeah, like, that guy just swung the club like I did.
13 birdies. I mean, there's no way.
When I do the par 3 thing yesterday.
Yeah.
And they're, like, purposely skipping the ball across the water.
I know. Like, or if they're righty, they hit the ball lefty.
Yeah.
It's crazy how good they are.
They chipped it. DeChambeau did this yesterday.
Okay, I didn't see this
on purpose, like, 15 feet behind the hole.
Uh-huh.
And it trickles back in and goes in the hole.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
Did he spin it or did he just play a little
hole? No, I just played gravity.
Like a little bump?
Oh, God. Yeah. Like, I'm frustrated by that. Dude, yeah.
I just fell asleep hearing you guys talk golf. I mean, what is this?
Dude, you like golf?
I mean, I don't like to talk about golf.
Well, should we talk about who's in the sixth hole for the Mets again?
No, like,
that's not boring.
NFL draft. It's just, why did you become such a big golf guy?
I told you, I watched them. Well, Fox has LIV, but I watched the Masters.
Yeah.
I watched the final round of the Open.
Yeah.
And
the Open Champion. The Open Champion is pretty nice. Like,
I have no interest in
It's a totally different watch. By the way, didn't you shoot? I remember years ago, I could probably take the year. 2013, 14, or
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
15. I feel like I saw you in a, I think it was a Lexus commercial, shooting, like hitting golf balls.
So funny story.
Where was that course? Give me that story.
Well, I did. It was, so I had a deal with Lexus at the time.
Okay.
And the deal was they gave me a car. Like, it wasn't like a lease. I go, no, if you want me to do it, yeah, give me the car.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave me a Lexus whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not a big car guy. And they had an association with golf this one particular summer. So they I would drive the Lexus to, like, Baltusrol, Trumbedminster, Wingfoot. Like, these amazing courses all throughout the tri-state area. I would drive up in the Lexus. I would then play the signature hole with the golf pro at all those, you know, specific golf courses.
What a gig, man.
Now, I'm a 4 handicap, so I can play.
Yeah, sure you are. Get the hell out of here. What are you, probably about a 16 or 17, but keep going.
Again.
Keep going.
Again.
4 handicap, my ass.
Having to be
going.
A 4 handicap. You can ask Boomer. So I would go to these golf, and I'd play the signature hole. I didn't play two holes. I'd play the signature hole, and then hop in the Lexus and drive off. So, true story, I had the deal. Now, I own the car outright.
Uh-huh.
Lexus undergoes some seismic shift in marketing at the end of that summer where they wanted to appeal more to female buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. You know, it's a beautiful car, it's Lexus, right?
Yeah, and my wife's got one,
So, I get a call. Listen, we're done with the campaign. They're moving to try to attract women buyers. So, out of principle, I sold the car the next day.
How many miles were on it when you sold
it? Like 180.
You probably got 50, 60. And you know I say this with love, but then you went to the casino and you play blackjack with the money.
No, there's a step in between that, though. So I sell the Lexus out of principle because I'm no longer a spokesman. I'm not driving the car. Yeah, I ain't driving much anyway.
Yeah.
The next day, I bought a Sprinter van.
This guy.
Put 50 grand into it, made it like a pimpmobile, and took that to the casino.
You are nuts, man. Now, are you getting paid in addition to having the car? Or just
It was like a $50,000, $60,000 car.
Nice.
A lot of these deals, they want you to do a deal with, pick your favorite dealership, and as long as you're reading the commercials, you can drive the car. And then when the campaign ends, it's their car. You kind of just renting it for free or leasing it, right?
For sure.
That's usually how these radio deals
work. That's the way it used to go.
But I was being arrogant and cocky and obnoxious. And I said, if you want me to do it, you have to actually give me the title.
It worked.
It's my car.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, sure.
Boomer Jr. pulling the Boomer and Carter pulling 12 shares. Take whatever you want.
Shares. But now that's like the best deal I ever had.
Now I understand why you're into the golf. Because I would be too if Fox hired me and we.
I'm not into it. Like I'm one of those typical guys where when Tiger played, I watched.
Oh, I miss
Phil,
watching him
you get
play.
Into Phil?
Phil, yes.
No.
So I'll tell you a funny story about Phil.
Because Phil's got some. I figured.
So Vegas. I started a company back in like '97 called Vegas Experts. It, to this day, it was still the most traffic website for sports handicapping information. I employed every handicapper you've ever heard of. I built their website. Me and a guy named Mark Lawrence, who's a well-respected handicapper out of Cleveland, who's now down in Florida. So basically,
you're saying that you did this?
I owned it. I built the company. I built the website from scratch. I literally, no joke, I bought a book, How to Build Websites for Dummies. It still exists. Look it up. VegasExperts.com. So every well-known handicapper at the time, they didn't have the technology or the money to build a website. It was very new. It's 1997.
Wow. That early.
I built their website. Yeah. They lived on my website, Vegas Experts. Yeah. And whatever picks they sold, we split the revenue. All right? It was a job, basically. But I own it. Yeah. I own the company, right?
Yeah.
So one of our biggest customers was Phil Mickelson.
Wow.
He bought picks from everybody every single day.
Could you see what he was betting game? No, I just knew that he bought
Big Al McMorty's Big Ten pick of the year.
The information.
And Stu Feiner's this. And, those guys.
Wow.
I owned it. So Phil Mickelson was our, it wasn't even close. He was our biggest client.
Wow.
Yeah.
What happened with the website?
I sold it.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah,
good.
I sold it. When I went to New Jersey 101.5 and came back from Denver, I sold it because my wife was like, which job are you doing? Right? Are you building websites? Or are you going to do radio?
Well, my answer would have been, if it buys you the mansion, I'm doing whatever job it takes.
Yeah, no, it didn't buy the mansion. No. It was good. It was successful. It was lucrative, but it wasn't like,
I got you.
You know, if I did that today, I'd have the mansion.
Where are you at? Before we let you go, I do want to, can we talk about sports? Is that okay? I don't want to interrupt you.
He hates sports. Why would we want to talk sports?
Well, because I did walk past one of the TVs before you were on.
I was on.
Yeah, Fox Sports.
They re-air, say, from 10 to 12. Yeah.
What do you think the Giants are doing here with the quarterback as far as that goes?
As far as drafting Shadur?
Well, yeah, number three. Are they taking a quarterback in this draft? Do you have any insight?
I would say this. I don't think the fact that they made the decision to bring in Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson has any impact at all on whether or not they would draft Shadur. And I can't tell you that they think the kid's going to be great. Mm. If they do, they're drafting him.
What are the experts that you talk to?
The experts are like, Shadur Sanders is not a top 10 pick.
Yeah, I don't like him that much.
No. And here's the great way to describe it. If Shadur's dad were a plumber, would you take him in the top 10?
No.
Right. Right.
So Shadur's a plumber?
No. Oh. But his dad's not either.
That's again.
You know whose dad is? Dion.
He was a good fucker. Okay. Yeah.
Like, no joke. Like, by the way, I'll do another one for you. Yeah. Where would he have played college football?
Yeah.
If Deion's not his coach.
Well, look where he started.
Right?
I mean, so small.
He's the consensus second best quarterback in the draft.
Because
though.
It's not a good quarterback draft.
Okay.
Right?
So
I'm the tallest dwarf in the circus. Big deal.
Right. So right? The Giants should just not take a quarterback again.
I think the Giants have lots of needs, right? Now, I'm not a Giant fan. You guys aren't either, right? But if you're a Giant fan, let's assume Cam goes to Tennessee.
Well,
Cleveland's on the clock. Cleveland's probably not taking Shadur Sanders.
Yeah.
They need a quarterback as much as the Giants need a future quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they take, what's his name, Abdul from Penn Carter. State, Abdul Carter. Put him with Myles Garrett, pretty good defense, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Uh-huh.
Giants are on the clock. You're not taking Travis Hunter?
I think they take Travis Hunter.
100% I think they take him.
I would not.
You would take whom? You go left tackle?
I want Carter. If I'm not picking quarterback there, I probably trade down if I'm the Giants.
Okay.
You could do that.
I don't like Hunter. I don't like the idea of a two-way player.
Okay.
I think he's great at both.
This pick is Shane's job.
Yeah.
And because he effed it up so badly, especially with the Hard Knocks episode, he ain't getting a second job as a GM. Pro personnel director, whatever.
Yeah.
But this is it. If he messes up that pick, I don't care what he does in the fourth round, the fifth round, the sixth round, he's done. And by the way, Dable's coaching for his life also.
Yeah, but hold on. What if I agree with that, but what if he nails the pick, but it's not a quarterback?
Yeah.
So he would be lauded from an executive perspective. Hey, he had a good draft last year.
Yeah.
He crushed the third overall pick with Hunter Carter, whomever,
right.
Offensive lineman kid from Missouri, whatever they might do.
Yeah.
But they still don't have a quarterback. Like, and that's really what Sal keeps saying. Like, I don't want to compound it and make it worse. I don't like many quarterbacks in this draft, so I'm not taking one for the Giants early, that's for sure.
Okay.
But eventually, you got to take a swing and get a quarterback. So
yeah, but I don't take the swing and draft a quarterback just because, everyone thinks I need a quarterback because the kid can't play or whatever kid you may talk about is by definition already a project, right?
Yeah.
So the Giants have two choices here. You go draft Travis Hunter or Lyman, Abdul Carter, whatever it is. You're not drafting a quarterback in this draft. Does anybody think Russell Wilson still has gas in the tank?
I'm not a fan. Looking forward to watching him play.
I think he's better than,
Daniel Jones?
Average. I think he's better than Daniel Jones. I give Brian Daboll credit that he's known as a guy that gets the most out of quarterbacks. Like, Daniel Jones did win a road playoff game when no one expected him to against Minnesota, and obviously it went south from there. But we're going to take Jackson Dart in the fifth round? Like, what are we doing?
I find it amazing,
right?
Sal. He leaves us here at WFAN, and he comes back a sports fan.
Yeah.
No. You asked the question.
I'm trying to get back on track a little bit.
Yeah, I hate draft Knicks stuff because no one knows what the hell they're talking about.
I know.
Hey, who do you think? Are you going to take the offensive lineman from Ohio State?
He's got good hips.
Torres patella tendon? Yeah, that's what I'm going to draft. Right.
The draft is the one thing that even the people that know what they're talking about have no idea what they're talking
about.
Look,
I tell my kids there's three truths in life when it comes to sports and what you know about sports. Number one, nobody cares about your fantasy team.
Right.
Number two, nobody cares about your March Madness bracket. Number three, nobody cares about your mock draft.
And yet that's all we leave.
That's it.
They're all true.
But it's also April 10th. And
Who do you miss more, Evan or Boomer?
I just had lunch with Boomer a couple days ago.
You did?
Oh. Why were they having lunch?
Morgan just popped wood, right?
So Fence is mended is what you're saying.
Me and Booms is good.
No, I'm just teasing.
Me and Booms is good, yeah.
Who'd you like working with more?
Boomer.
It's got to be Boomer.
It's not even... I love
Evan. You say that because it's easy to just make fun of Evan or put down Evan. Or if you said it about Boomer, he might take personal offense.
I adore Evan. I do. I'm glad Evan's thriving, and I was able to bring out another side of his personality nobody ever saw.
Yeah, we don't see the old personality anymore.
Yeah, he's quirky, smart. He's now doing stupid things on the radio I never thought he would ever do. My influence.
Yeah. So basically you ruined him.
I go to my grave saying what a lot of people think, not everyone. There was just something special and different about Boomer and Carton.
Yeah.
You know? And I thought, you know, Carton and Roberts was great. It wasn't Boomer and Carton.
Yeah.
One common denominator.
Me. Right.
You're
That's right.
You are.
I might start coming to middays more often.
Which one of us are?
Now Morshan has got the hard on.
Piece of work, this guy.
All right, Craigie.
I want you to fight the bear again and the gig bear.
That was good. You know what happened? Trump got impeached. I'll tell you what happened. Trump gets impeached.
What was it called again?
Man versus bear.
Dude, why isn't that show on TV?
Because what happened right before COVID, and I think we debuted at like number 8. Now, I know people have different views on Tucker Carlson when he was with Fox. He was a ratings monster.
Yeah.
We actually beat him the first episode.
Is that right? Network was it?
It was on Discovery. But I'm saying, so we were 7 or 8, whatever, and he was 8 or 9.
Which is solid.
Great. Over a million viewers first episode. Then Trump gets impeached. All eyes go to
Fox,
the political world.
Or whatever, CNN as well, at
sure.
The time, yeah.
But the entire political landscape changes, and we go from, you know, a million to 800,000 to 612. Then we go from Thursday night to Saturday night. Then I'm like, that's
and
it.
Panic.
And then COVID hit, and there's no chance for episode
that happened to me. So I was doing, when Spike Network existed.
No, I remember Spike.
They hired me to do MMA Uncensored live. It was a live show from the old TRL studios in Times Square.
Oh, yeah.
Paid me a whole bunch of money to do this show. I liked MMA. By no means was I an expert, but I was close at the time with Dana. And I had a holding deal with Spike, so they were paying me money to try to develop a show for me, right? So it's going great. It's the only live show. I mean, to this day, it's probably most viewers the show's ever had because it was prime time, Thursday nights, like 10 o'clock. It was awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they get in a big fight with Dana White and UFC. Spike did, or Viacom did. And now they're like, screw Dana White. We're not doing anything for him. Dana's like, screw you back. I don't need you guys. So Bellator just started.
Yeah.
So Viacom buys Bellator to compete with UFC and Dana. So we have this big powwow meeting before. This is a live show. Every major fighter has come through. Like, it's pretty cool. And I, by no means am I the MMA expert. We had a couple really good guys. Mike Straka was there. Luke Thomas.
Yeah, we don't care about
right?
the names. Keep
just
going.
Guys, right? So they come and they go, look, here's the deal. You can't talk about the UFC. What? Excuse me? It's an MMA show. It's like saying, do a football show and don't talk about the NFL.
Talk about sports as team.
And they're like, screw Dana White. We're not putting any more money in his pockets. You're not talking UFC. And I go, then I can't do the show.
Yeah.
No one cares about Bellator, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one's even heard of it. Like, it's a small little thing in some casino, like, you know, ballroom kind of thing.
Yep.
So we negotiated a truce, and the truce was, or agreement was, I could talk about events that had already happened. I couldn't talk about the event that was taking place literally in 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
The show was on Thursday. So I'm like, I don't think I'm getting renewed.
The deal was,
you could talk about the event from last Saturday, and maybe there was a great card or John Jones was fighting or something. But if there was a huge fight, like a mega fight, which you know, pick your favorite fight of all time, doesn't matter, right? I couldn't even mention it. Mm.
What happens if you do? You fined?
No, no. They're like, you're no longer the host of the show. And I made like 20 grand an episode. It was great. So that show, we did 37 episodes. And we had significant viewership. It was great. And that show just disappeared. Because they didn't want to put money in Dana's pocket.
Stupid. And what year was this?
Maybe around 13,
right, so
14.
Before, it's now obviously a massive thing.
Oh, it was before, like the Fertitta brothers owned it. Yeah. It was big and growing, but they were still doing shows at Izod Center. Like, you know, they hadn't gone to like Abu Dhabi yet. And mm-hmm. Vegas, you know, was the occasional fight.
Yeah.
But it was before they sold to CAA.
Are you going
to
stay till 2? I mean, that's what the midday show goes. Can you do that? We got a little power up coming up. Maybe we'll do Batman rankings. I don't know if BT's lukewarm
Batman's
about it.
Batman's not a superhero.
What do you mean? He is a superhero.
No, he's not. What superhero power? What power does he have?
Batman. What do you mean?
What power does he have? What superhero power does he have?
He's got the belt that does everything.
Not a power. The belt has the power. He's got shark repellent spray in his fancy yellow belt and a boy toy wearing your leggings. He ain't a superhero. Robin.
How would you define him? How would you define him if he's not a superhero?
A wealthy dude with an addiction. Mm.
So who are superheroes?
He's not a superhero. No. Superman's a superhero. Spider-Man,
Aquaman, a
superhero.
Green Lantern.
10 a.m. to 2 p.m. is the midday show. Just so you know, those hours. I mean, it's 4 hours. What time do you get off the Fox?
I get off at 10.
Perfect. Well, yeah. Probably wouldn't be able to get home till 4. I don't know if it fits the schedule exactly.
Listen, there's the guy with the money down the hall. I'll go have a quick chat.
I don't think there's anybody with money around here anymore. BT and Sal on the fan, 888. I mean, certainly not.
I'll tell you one more story. Because the guy owns the company now, right? Soros is the big money behind it. So 2015 Mets Royals World Series. I'm a season ticket holder for the Mets at the time. I had not yet joined the Yankee fandom, mm-hmm. right? And it's before the game 5 was the Harvey game, right? So it's before that game, and I've seen enough baseball, and I get a phone call from a friend. Hey, a friend of mine would like to buy your suite. I had a suite season ticket. And so they consider if the price is right. So they go, well, what's the price? I go, I wouldn't even know what to charge you. Okay, fine, great. So the guy calls me up who wants to buy the suite for, I think it was game 5. That's the Harvey game, right? Before they went back to the, right?
Yeah.
All right. So he goes, I'm going to send you a check. I'll have my person drop it off at your apartment. If the number's good, we're good. And just send me the tickets. If the number's not good, tell me what you want. I'm like, yeah, all right, great. Like, I have no concept of what I should ask for a charge. I get a check made out to me for $100,000. George Soros' son.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Look at Craigie. I mean, 20 grand an episode.
I know, he's been here 13 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I felt good. I felt good to see him, and now the more he talks about what he had and still has,
I got nothing left.
That doesn't make us feel better.
Thus, the Levi 501 silver tabs recall.
All right, Craigie. Always fun.
Good to see you, boys.
We got brother.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.